welcome back to the second session of Lisa and Phil Ruin Movies. Or as somebody on Twitter asked, when are Lisa and Phil going to ruin everything again? I like their scope, their ambition.
Feature creep has already reared its head into this podcast, which we actually had someone submit a theme.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. It was a bit of a spoken word theme, and yeah. I think we both
we're not quite to our had poetry phase yet.
Yeah,
so.
We had a musical theme in mind.
Yes,
but
something was Wagnerian, maybe.
Yeah.
As much Wagner as you can pack into 10 seconds.
It was neat. It mm-hmm. was a.
We're touched, and we love the response from the first one, and we're back to ruin more movies that we haven't seen and probably won't see.
Yes, the premise of this podcast is you can get people talking about things that they actually like and enjoy all the time and that they've actually, more to the point, experienced. But that involves time and expertise.
What the modern media sphere needs are two people who know nothing talking about a topic they've never directly experienced. That's a fresh and novel approach in today's media landscape, and we're here to provide it for
exactly. you. You don't have the time for us to sit around and watch a movie and then form an opinion.
Why should we be informed? So, enough meta talk about the scope of this podcast. Let's get on to the meat of it. Phil, which movie are we going to talk about now that we have no intention of seeing?
I believe we are going to talk about, as topical as the headlines today, Sin City 2.
Ah, yes.
A Day That No Dames Would Die. Wait, no, that's not the title.
Well, is it about the cops?
It's Sin City 2.
A Day No Pigs Would Die?
A Day...
Dame to Kill For?
Sin City 2, A Dame to Kill For. It's a very deeply held study about infrastructure in this country and how it's falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's the sequel to 1952's Sin City, which is how long ago that film came out. A film.
Feels like it, culturally.
A film
speaking.
You and I actually went to see in the theater, thus invalidating the entire premise of this podcast.
Well, we saw the first one in the theater.
Right.
And my overriding impression was that Rory Gilmore is a hooker that somehow brings the severed head of Benicio del Toro into Rosario Dawson's living room. And the Hobbit is involved somehow.
Yes.
That's basically what I remember.
The Hobbit eats people.
Didn't that happen also in Return of the King?
Yeah, he eats a lot of people.
Or was that Samwise?
He's got
Samwise
a real problem.
Let's have it!
Yeah, well, he eats a lot of people.
Okay, so anyway.
Here are the sum total of things that I remembered about Sin City, the original flavor.
Yes.
Interesting visuals from back in 2005.
2005. I think. This is before Zack Snyder kind of beat the whole thing into the ground.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it was an interesting visuals. Didn't much enjoy it. Carla Gugino has her top off through several portions of the movie.
That's kind of a theme of the Audis with her, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's always taken off her top.
Well, the Audis were a good time for cinema. Mm. And Elijah Wood eats people.
Mm-hmm. Rory Gilmore is a rat.
Yeah. So,
Josh Hartnett kills people too. The movie either begins or ends with him killing ladies.
Well, that happens a lot in Sin City. So
Wouldn't you move? Again, I feel like many of these movie dilemmas could be circumvented if you would just leave.
Yes.
I mean, if the place is called Sin City.
Yes, already they've sort of put it out there what your experience is going to be like.
Nobody is moving there for the school districts,
mm-hmm.
you know?
The property values are really through the floor.
No. And the police – I remember the police being corrupt, I believe, is a central tenet of Sin City.
No, strangely, the police in Sin City are very highly regarded. No, of course they're corrupt. For heaven's sake, it's terrible film noir.
Mm-hmm.
I actually a few weeks ago, the original version of Sin City, SVU, was on TV. And
now I'm imagining, is it Christopher Maloney?
Yes. Yeah.
Law and Order SVU.
He's actually in the sequel, I believe.
Oh, is he really?
Yes. You've rebooted your computer live during a podcast.
It froze on me. I tried to load Sin City's Wikipedia entry because Wikipedia is the source of all accuracy in
right,
pop culture.
Exactly. Anyhow, I was watching Sin City Criminal Intent. And for about
is that the one Jeremy Sisto in it?
Yes. And I had it on for like 5 minutes and I thought, oh, this is dreadful. We paid money to see this. It's not a film that holds up well. I think, which is a shame when you're talking about a film that's less than a decade old.
It's like a decade, isn't it?
Kind of. 9 years.
9 years, yeah.
Even though it feels like it came out 20 years ago, it's only less than a decade old.
Yeah.
And so Under these circumstances, are we not watching the sequel, Sin City? Hey, dames, get ready to die.
Why I would watch the sequel? Because they've done the replacement thing where I think Josh Brolin is swapping in for people, for Bruce Willis, I believe.
Yes, he is.
And there's no Clive Owen in
Clive
it,
Owen
which is kind
does
of a
not
deal
return.
Killer for, no, he's busy
Many
killing people,
do
people
return.
On Showtime now.
Mickey Rourke returns, which is odd because I seem to recall that he – didn't he die in the first –
This is a prequel.
It's a prequel.
Yes, it's a – or no, wait. No, it's not.
No, it's not a prequel.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because you can't have Jessica Alba aging backwards from the second movie.
No, unless this is a Benjamin Button reboot.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine a Benjamin Button reboot with strippers?
I could, actually.
Oh, wow. God, that's just – oh, wow.
I believe
no,
in
like,
certain video –
there's a part of my brain that just recoiled.
I believe if you go to the back room of certain video stores across the country, you can probably find a Benjamin Button reboot with strippers. Mm-hmm. So do you want to do the plot honors or shall I?
I think
because I am looking at the as we say, the Wikipedia entry.
Yeah.
Edited just 4 hours ago. So this is topical, this is fresh.
So I guess
our scientists have weighed in with the latest that we know about Sin City 2.
I guess they open up at the strip club again.
Yes.
And here's the baffling thing. The place is called Sin City.
Mm-hmm.
It has a hooker army in it, if the first movie is to be believed,
right,
where all of the women are skilled in martial arts while wearing their bras. And yet when you go to the Sin City strip clubs, it's not stripping so much as it's like a gentle suggestion that maybe a man would like to see a collarbone and an ankle before the end of
yes,
the night.
Yes, Jessica Alba dances in chaps.
Yeah, full leather chaps. Like not even assless chaps. They're like actual functional. She could go punch cattle chaps.
She's in chaps and mm-hmm. a frilly bikini top, I seem to recall.
Yeah.
And I believe –
and a lasso.
And I believe the strip bar that she works at is called the worst strip bar in humanity. I do not see how there is –
Well, no. Can I interject?
Sure, sure.
When I saw Rock of Ages last summer.
Oh, yes. Also, the second worst strip bar in humanity.
Well, no. But the reason it's the second worst is because Mary J. Blige runs it, and she is awesome, and she sings Journey like it's meant to be sung. But that's the strip –
not at all?
No, she's got like an actual range and everything. Oh, hmm. So it's great. But Julianne Hough eventually works as a stripper at the strip bar.
Mm-hmm.
And when she goes to
take –
is
that Dancing with the Stars as Julianne Hough?
Yes, it's the creepy lizard person in human skin, Julia Hough.
V's Julianne Hough.
She is, if we ever discover that the alien lizard people are coming to take our water and our food and breed our lizard babies. She's an option. She's an advanced scout.
I have not watched V in 30 years,
yeah,
and there are indelible images scarred onto my preteen brain.
Oh, when Diana like
of the
eats
ripping
eats
off
the guinea pig.
Yeah.
Anyway, to move back to bring this back around to Jessica Alba's terrible, terrible
no,
workplace.
No, let's talk about V some more.
Okay.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Mark Singer.
You were talking about –
that's another set of creepy siblings.
You were talking about Rock of Ages.
So Julianne Hough finally like decides that she's debauched at the end of, I think it's a Pat Benatar medley, and she goes to get on –
that's a good time to decide.
And she goes to get on the stage and presumably peel for the patrons and lose her innocence. And she's basically wearing like a nun's habit. She's in a long sleeved black leotard. It's not see through in any way, shape, or form. Like your 4-year-old niece could wear this in her ballet recital, and everyone will go, "Oh, that's so sweet."
Why is that stripper wearing a gunny sack?
Seriously, you know. And then she like looks out at the audience, like, "Oh, you can see my knees. The shame." And Sin City has this going on, too.
1890s hottest strip bar. She's showing ankle.
Except Deadwood led me to believe there was a lot more going on there. But
yes.
I don't know if that's because HBO is like, well, you've paid your $40 a month. We might as well show you some Hooters.
Sure. Yeah. But yes, I can – every time
Jessica Alba swings that
lasso
on
screen, I cannot imagine that there isn't a line of angry patrons lined up at the Sin City strip bar's complaint desk, mm-hmm, just saying, "I want my money back. Why? How have I wandered into this?" It's not
called a clothes club. It's called a strip club,
sir. It's burlesque.
That means it's ironic, and all the girls have severe bangs and bright red lipstick on.
Dita Von Teese is here.
Oh, Jesus, that woman.
Yeah. Well, anyhow. Yeah. So, yeah, it's the –
There's not a whole lot of irony in Strip City. That's the, not Strip City.
Strip City is going to be the new name. Strip City, a dame to not take off your clothes for.
So, yeah, apparently Joseph Gordon-Levitt is in this too.
Yes.
I guess there are four – because he has hurt feelings from not being in the next Christopher Nolan project.
Yes. There are essentially four plot lines that interweave in that – that Sin City.
Oh, and there's a flashback.
That Sin City.
That's the worst.
Yeah, and there's flashbacks, and it's very, it's very hard to.
Oh God, Jeremy Piven.
Figure out. Shall I read to you the different plots?
No, because I don't think people tune in to have us listen to listen to us do spoken word poetry based on Wikipedia.
Oh, but basically, let me sum them up then.
Uh huh.
Here's the Marv plot. Marv, who I thought was dead, didn't he die?
Wait, what? No, I'm looking at the last plot, which is Nancy's last dance.
Yeah.
All right. Would you like to know what phrase jumps out of me? Nancy picks off the guards with a crossbow.
Yeah, as one does.
Because it's not enough that she plays with lassos and doesn't take off her clothes for money.
Listen, she's got a place to stash it with all that clothes she's wearing at the strip bar.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So
I like Jessica Alba fine as like a baby products entrepreneur, and that's like good for her for selling earth-friendly diapers. I've
never appreciated her as an actress in anything that she's ever done.
Has she ever been an actress in anything she's done?
No. Well, she mouths words and looks and shows off semi-human reactions. So, that's acting of a sort.
No, I think there's actually a reality TV contestant that clear that bar.
So she was in that show on Fox where she was a robot.
Part cat, I think.
Part a cat robot.
Yes, because there was actually a plot line where she goes into heat.
Oh, my.
You should have seen the look on Phil's face when I broke that down for him. Dark Angel, I think it's called.
Yes, Dark Angel. Okay. Dark Angel, the story of the robot cats who and the government trained them and she went rogue or I don't even – that I don't.
Well, she ended up dating some guy from NCIS for a while as a result of that show. So there's just a lot.
Yeah, it was a Fox sci-fi Friday night
she
garbage show.
Woefully miscast as Sue Storm in those two awful Fantastic Four movies.
Yes, she was the problem with the Fantastic Four movies.
No, she was a problem with the Fantastic Four movies. But I'm just saying, you can't bend the laws of human genetics to possibly come up with a way that Chris Evans and Jessica Alba come from any of the same parts of the family tree.
Apart from
Michael Chiklis?
Michael Chiklis.
Who was fantastic.
Was anyone well cast in any of the Fantastic Four
Maybe
pictures?
Julian McMahon. Dr. Doom.
Ah, yeah, sure.
Although I love Dr. Doom.
Doom, I think we need to table Sin City for a moment.
And just talk about Dr. Doom.
I have a problem with with Marvel's anti-Latverian stances. Mm-hmm. And its whole Dr. Doom is so evil. Well, maybe if you're an imperialist running pig dog.
Yeah.
But if you are a citizen of Latveria, maybe Dr. Doom is the best thing that ever happened to you. Maybe you look at your schools and your job in Dr. Doom's weapons factory and you think, yeah, sure, he's a maniac, but he's our maniac. We get three squares a day. We have universal health care.
He's very pro-robot. So I imagine if you're a robot maker in Latveria.
There are openings for henchmen all the time for Dr. Doom.
So he's probably got like full employment.
He is great for their economy.
Yeah.
And I just imagine that all the Latverians are taken to the street to protest the Fantastic Four with these grotesque puppets of Reed Richards eating the globe. And Fantastic Four out of Latveria.
Well, I've told you my fantasy Fantastic Four plotline, right?
No.
It's the one where Dr. Doom.
You've told me many fantasy Fantastic Four plotlines. Tell me this one. Does it involve chaps? Does it involve the thing in chaps? Not interested.
No. Okay. No, what it involves is Dr. Doom thinking, all right, Reed Richards is behind the sanctions which are trying to economically cripple Latveria. In order to get a better quality of hench person for my workforce, I'm going to have to sink a lot of capital into education. And he does. And so Latveria is well educated. And then Dr. Doom recognizes that in order to have a productive workforce, you have to offer things like paid leave for new parents and you have to offer on-site daycare and daycare subsidies. And he does that. And all the Latverians manage to master exquisite work-life balance. And they're cranking out robots like crazy and innovation is shot through the roof. And then Dr. Doom is like, well, we clearly don't have healthy trade with the rest of the world thanks to Reed Richards and all of these economic sanctions that he's managed to gull the UN into levying against my people. So, like, he launches this massive Victory Garden initiative. And next thing you know, like, it's a nation of well-educated locavores with sane work-life balances. And Reed Richards completely loses his crap over how well Latveria is run. And goes to try to invade the country, and people are like, "Why are you invading what has basically turned into Berkeley East?"
Who's the real monster, huh?
Exactly, because
the person who greenlighted the Fantastic Four movies.
The moral of the story is that Reed Richards is always, always awful, no matter what.
Yes.
So, but he's not in Sin City. So.
No, he's not.
Looping this back around to the topic, like Nancy looping her lasso.
I do actually want to read you the Joseph Gordon-Levitt plotline, because I think this is germane to why neither one of us will see Sin City 2, Electric Boogaloo, and why the people who did. And it was a very popular movie its first weekend in release. I realize it's August and there's nothing to see in the theaters, and you've seen Guardians of the Galaxy eight times.
No, I just want to see it a second time. Please go see it.
People have seen it eight times now.
Please go see it with me again.
But shame on you if you saw Sin City 2, Muppets Take Manhattan, because here's the plot line right here of the Jason.
I would see
Joseph
a Muppet
Gordon
movie if it was shot in the style of Sin City.
Well, of course.
Oh my God!
Especially if Walter dies,
or if
that would be
the first act.
Uh huh. That would be the greatest Muppet movie ever.
And then Sam.
Oh no, Walter's dead.
And then Sam the Eagle comes out. There's no more.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, Johnny, who's described as a cocky gambler, arrives in Sin City, and he heads to the worst strip bar in humanity, and he hits the jackpot on multiple slot machines. He takes a young waitress with him as a good luck charm, and he gets into the poker game.
Not as a human hostage,
because he enjoys her company, but because she's a good luck charm. And he gets into the poker game led by the all-powerful Senator Rourke, who's played by Powers Booth.
Oh, Powers Booth is back?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Powers Booth will never die until the end of this movie. But Powers Booth is there. And,
oh, my gosh.
Johnny repeatedly wins in the high-stakes game and cleans the senator out. And so, hey, you better get out of town. But no, instead he goes for a night on the town with the waitress. And that's when he's attacked by the goons who drag him into the limousine. And in payment for the humiliation he suffered at the card game, Rourke takes back his money and then reveals a pair of pliers, which he uses to break three of Johnny's fingers.
Ew.
They toss him from the car. Senator shoots.
Where was the waitress
in
all this?
We're getting to that. All this right. is a tightly woven plot. Given that it's Sin City, I think you can, and that she's a woman, I think you can guess what happens to her.
Oh, it's going to be terrible.
They toss him from the car. The senator shoots him in the leg, at which point he reveals that Johnny is his illegitimate son.
What?
But remarks that he only considered his dead son from the first movie. I forget if that's the yellow guy
or the guy
who ate people is the actual son. Don't remember, don't care.
Are they friends, maybe?
Yeah, they were in a frat together. He leaves Johnny alive, preferring to let him suffer, and Johnny swears revenge. So then we skip ahead in the movie.
Ugh.
So here it is. Johnny visits an unlicensed doctor played by TV's Christopher Lloyd. Shoots him up with shoots himself up with heroin, and then trades Johnny's last $40 and his shoes to treat him. He realizes that he left the waitress unprotected. He goes to her hotel, but the senator's there with her disembodied head and hands.
What is it with them chopping off heads? Does this head talk to like Benicio del Toro? Was it Benicio del Toro?
I don't remember. There's a lot of head chopping off in the Sin City pictures.
That's not easy to do.
No, it really is. It really is tough. And I guess maybe it's a local custom. Like, when someone moves in, you give them a casserole and a head.
Do you bring – oh, this is your headpan. You'll need this.
This is the guy who used to live here.
Oh, my God.
You were wondering why property values were so cheap.
He violated the HOA in terms of lawn care.
All right. So, again, stupidly, Powers Booth lets him go. This is very unlike Powers Booth. And Johnny scrounges a dollar from Lady Gaga. And he gets some more money and gets into the card game and beats him again and taunts him about, hey, haha, I beat you at the card game. And then Powers Booth apparently shoots him in the head. And that's the end of the story. That's entertainment.
So I'm thinking maybe the people who live in Sin City are the ones who are not bright enough to move.
Yeah. Well, if you read through the Wikipedia entry, and like many Wikipedia movie plot summaries, it reads like a child's nightmare dictated to an to an uncaring parent.
And then
every story ends with,
and the monsters can't cross the water. No.
And then he died, and life is futile and ugly, like everything that Frank Miller touches. And that's the
I
end.
Was going to argue with you, but I can't.
Yeah.
No.
So I think
Look,
that's...
can we talk about some other movies in the theater?
Yeah, sure.
Go right ahead. There's other stuff to talk about. Like there's Lucy.
There's Lucy.
Mm-hmm. Which is apparently about a comely 1950s housewife.
Yes.
Who goes to work at a candy factory.
Exactly.
Yes. And then begins using 100% of
her brain. She uses 100% of her brain and then is able to score a job at her husband's club.
Oh, Lucy. Did you use 100% of your brain again?
At 80%, she's able to upstage Orson Welles.
What happens when she reaches 100%?
Nobody knows!
Does he play the bongos?
Yes, he does that.
Oh, no, apparently that's a movie where Scarlett Johansson becomes...
Scarlett Johansson.
She can move things with the power of her mind.
Yes, Scarlett Johansson can move things with the power of her mind, and the movie ends with her holding a football and daring Morgan Freeman to kick it, and then she pulls it away at the last second, and Morgan Freeman goes, "Oh, Lucy, what am I going to do with you?" Yeah. I can't do Morgan Freeman's
voice. There's a time for living and a time for dying.
Yes. And a time for kicking footballs.
Yeah. Okay. No, there's that movie Lucy in the Theater. I know nothing about it other than the fact that Scarlett Johansson looks very intently at the camera and uses 100% of her brain to suspend disbelief for 100 minutes.
You are using 100% of your brain, are you not, in real life? The entire premise of the movie is nonsensical.
Yeah, there's been, to be honest, I haven't bothered to read any of the so-called explainer articles telling me how much of my brain I'm using.
I don't remember the raft of explainer articles in the
there was, because there was everybody who has know-it-all syndrome, mm-hmm. was tripping over themselves to explain why the premise of the movie, which is that some woman can blow things up with her mind or whatever. Oh, she can't use 100% of her movie, so that beggars disbelief. But, you know, Scarlett Johansson blinking her eyes and flinging things away with the force of her eyelashes is apparently not the deal killer. It's the fact that, we're already using, you know,
so
the parts of our brains that aliens haven't downloaded star maps into or whatever it is they do.
The plot line is this.
I had a Last Starfighter thing in there.
Yes, you did.
Mm-hmm.
The plot is this.
Oh, yeah. It's – Lupusant. God.
Yes. Morgan Freeman Lucy.
Was Mila Jovovich not available anymore?
I guess not. She's not returning his calls. Mm-hmm. He meets Lucy,
mm-hmm.
who he calls Luce, finds her standing on the corner of 8th and 40 Deuce.
That's so unfair. Maybe she just couldn't get public transportation.
Takes her home and the next morning
– his chest of drawers?
Steals the chest of drawers. And the boys all blame me for bringing her home. Oh, wait. No, this is the plot to She's Crafty. Yeah. I'm sorry. I've looked up the wrong thing on Wikipedia.
No.
No, she's a drug mule and she's captured and it – it breaks the bet. She's captured and she's kicked in the tummy.
So this is basically the opposite of that terribly depressing movie where Catalina Moreno had to swallow a lot of heroin and go up to North America and was pregnant at the same time. Full of Grace, I think it was called.
Yes, I guess.
This is like
– You tell me.
Oh, wait. Yeah, I'm looking it up now. Maria Full of Grace was the name of the movie,
mm-hmm.
and it's a searing and depressing look at vast economic inequalities in Northern and Southern America. I actually did see it, and it's heartbreaking and riveting, and so we basically have the American Funhouse version of this, which is big and dumb and filled with kung fu.
Yes.
Good Lord.
She reaches 100% of her cerebral capacity.
Yeah.
And disappears within the space-time continuum. Well, that's
– So wait. This is – she's already played this role in Spike Jones Will Teach You to Love Your Smartphone or whatever that movie was called earlier this year. Help me out here. It had
– Her.
Yes. Thank you. Because she's a disembodied voice who's on a billion different computers in that one too.
I think the difference between those movies is that this one is bad and that one was good.
Oh, okay.
I think it's the distinguishing factor. Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyhow.
There's a leitmotif.
As she disappears within the space-time continuum, she explains that everything is connected and existence is only proven through time. Sounds like a fun night at the movies where Scarlett Johansson is lecturing me on the nature of existence.
It's not a date night pick is what they're saying.
No.
Okay. And instantly before the bullet.
Yeah, reading the plot, it's mm-hmm. a prequel to Her. So there you go.
Yeah, okay. Now it all makes sense. It's the Scarlett Johansson unified theory of cinema.
Mm-hmm. I think in every movie that Scarlett Johansson appears in, you'll find that she is basically the answer to life itself.
She actually gets shot a lot, now that I think about it, because I saw a Woody Allen movie where Jonathan Rhys-Meyers shoots and kills her because she's messing up his life. And it ends with him successfully getting away with it. So she gets shot in movies.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's how The Nanny Diaries ended. And Phil is just shaking his head silently and wondering now why he puts up with me. Mm-hmm. So I think that's actually a natural stopping point.
Yes.
We have once again ruined two vaguely science fiction flavored movies for you.
Let's recount all the things that we've ruined today.
Okay.
We've ruined...
The Fantastic Four. We did a side ruining of the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, we've ruined both Fantastic Four movies.
Uh-huh. And the comic book. I believe we've ruined Rock of Ages indirectly.
Yes. And Dancing with Wolf Stars.
Well, you know, Dances with Wolves and Dancing with the Stars are probably each other's moral equivalent.
Dancing with the Stars of Dances with Wolves.
Yes.
That is my new spinoff series that features Kevin Costner and Graham Greene competing in a series of ballroom dances.
I think Kevin Costner would be remarkably light on his feet.
I think that he would.
So we've now ruined Dances with Wolves for you. Mm-hmm. We have, in addition, ruined V... Mm-hmm. We've ruined Lucy. We've ruined Charlie Brown.
And Sin City 2, Back in Training, we reviewed. Sin City 2, Citizens on Patrol.
For a moment, I thought you were going to say Sin City 2, Citizen Kane, and I just mm-hmm. had this horrible, horrible image of Orson Welles slowly rotating with a lasso.
Orson Welles would have done that picture. Did the check clear? Orson Welles is doing that movie.
Oh, it's the lasso work I worry about.
I'm dancing in a strip bar now.
My left arm is going numb. This is the most exercise
Mrs.
I've had in
Paul's years. Fish sticks are delicious.
And now you're ruining fish sticks. This is a nothing is sacred.
No.
All right. Cut off point now.
Yes. So this has been another episode of Phil and Lisa Ruin the Movies, an offshoot of The Incomparable.
Please let us
know. Possibly a horrible spinoff. Possibly the last episode we'll ever do. Tomorrow's Promise to No Man.
Possibly the podcast equivalent of Sin City 2. But if you have any more movies you'd like us to ruin, we did ruin Lucy as a suggestion from a reader. Please reach out to us on Twitter. Let us know what movies you'd like us to ruin for the fall. We have a full slate ahead.
Yeah, we're not going anywhere.
No. As a matter of fact, we just bought a microphone that can handle both of us at once. So be prepared for future episodes. Anyway, thank you, Philip Michaels, for helping me ruin pop culture.
Thank you, Lisa Schmeiser, for ruining everything.